Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio. It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
I'd be sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. 5th Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Gator Dave with us every Tuesday from down in Jacksonville. We'll let you know how you can get his very popular podcast, which is called Gators Breakdown. Dave, when did the topic come up? I saw you post this just the other day about the notion that Florida does less with more.
That's from Mike Farrell from Rivals. He had a top 10. Georgia was number one of doing less with more. But he had Florida at number three. And I didn't get that, Bill. there wasn't a lot of context with the tweet and the list of who does less with more. But given the last 3 years and I think where Florida has recruited and what they have on the roster, they've done about as expected. Probably over exceeded expectations in 2018-2019. And then last year, met them in some ways, and in probably some ways not. You know, you did beat Georgia, you won the SEC, you still had four losses, so that 2020 could be somewhat of a wash. But to sit there and have Florida at number three, and then I think Tennessee, Florida State, Miami were below Florida. I was like, if you want to have Florida on the list, okay, maybe. But to have Florida as, you know, up there above FSU, who's had some losing records, Tennessee, who's had some losing records, Miami's had some losing records in the last, you know, half decade or so. I just didn't get labeling Florida a team that does less with more.
Not the last of – when's the last time Florida had a blockbuster recruiting ranking, like a top three type ranking?
Oh, yeah, you probably are going to Will Muschamp, either his last class or next to last class. That's as far back as you're going with that one.
The last one I remember clearly would be Urban Meyer's 2010 class, which turned out to be a big pack of spoiled brats and divided the locker room.
Yeah, that was a top-ranked class. A lot of people considered the best class in recruiting ever at that time, dating back to that time. And I think I said Will Muschamp had some top-five classes, but you're right, as far as top. You know, you had the top-ranked class. You had Sharif Floyd, Dominic Easley, Ronald Powell in that class. Two of those guys played pretty well for Florida. Floyd and Easley really couldn't stay healthy. Powell had some health issues as well, but never lived up to that. I think he was the top-rated player in the country. Ronald Powell was there, and coming from California to Florida, never lived up to that billing. You're right, Bill. Those guys come in and expected to run the locker room and pretty much put a damper there on Urban Meyer's last year at Florida.
Another item there, and you just pointed out a bunch of them, that was considered, again, almost a little over 10 years ago, one of the best D-line classes in modern history, too, which you mentioned a couple of them. Powell was probably one of the bigger number one rank mistakes that the recruiting services made. Now, he did have a knee, and that's understandable. But I just never saw the ranking being deserved there. I mean, if you're going to put somebody number one, Dave, they better eat glass and nails for breakfast and sack the quarterback five times in the first game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because in every camp and everything that we saw leading up to that signing class, whenever I thought Dominic Easy was the most dominant defender that I had seen at that cycle, and I was glad before I got him. I was more impressed with what I saw from him and his career as well at Florida. And that was the problem with that class. You know, Floyd and Easley, they, to me, lived up to their ranking, but they were hurt as well. They were hardly ever on the field at the same time. They were anchors for that really, really good 2012 defense that Florida had in Will Muschamp's second year there. But, I'm a big believer in recruiting rankings, Bill, but, sometimes I've always said, it doesn't promise that you'll win, but you're not winning without it. But there are a lot of times where, especially right at the top, those guys just don't pan out sometimes.
Now, just since we're on this topic, and I wasn't even thinking about it prior to you coming on here, when that group got into the locker room, those spoiled freshmen in 2010, wasn't it one of the Pouncies that called them out first publicly?
Let's see. It would have been
maybe I'm thinking.
They won in 08. I think one stayed behind in 09. Or no, I guess both of them. No, both of them would have been in 09. Yeah, one stayed behind in 10 as well. So yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah. And I think that was the story of, I forget if it was Marquise or which one it was. But yeah, you're right. I believe it was one of the Pouncies. And that's the interesting dynamic when you recruit. A lot of people will label divas just because they're highly ranked kids, and when you bring in class after class after class like that, and look, I don't even know how, if you go back and look at it, how much Urban Meyer really cared that was happening. We kind of know it was one foot out the door. He was going to retire. He came back anyway. So we're going to retire, come back anyway, still put the number one class together, but it didn't really pan out. But it does beg to, if you go back and look at it, if he was, I don't necessarily want to say fully involved, I mean, maybe the wrong way to label it, but if the health scare didn't happen, if he didn't unretire and come back, maybe how different the locker room dynamic would have been if he would have put his foot down and maybe stepped in a little bit more instead of leaving it up to the players.
To bring this whole conversation, which I never even intended to get to full circle, though, there is a point here. Think about it. Florida had won the national championship in 06 and 08. The 09 team was good enough to win it all, too. So there was some reasons to have a lot of confidence in the Gators program in the moment. And those recruits were probably told, come join what we're doing. You see what we're doing. We're winning multiple natties. We're the talk of the town. Come join this. You will fit right in. So they were probably coddled some, which happens in the recruiting process. But here's the point. It makes what Nick Saban does year after year, literally, even more impressive, because I'm sure behind the scenes, Dave, he has to suppress some of the arrogance and the entitled five stars as well. But you don't hear about it much there, do you? And apparently he's able to take that locker room full of these kind of guys and chill them.
Well, I'm glad you said that. I wasn't even thinking about that in some angle the other way the other day as well. When he left LSU, went to the NFL, and then came to Bama, like, we knew he'd be good, but there was no inclination that this was going to happen. And going to your point, over a decade of dominance, over a decade of being able to sell the program as the program to be, become an NFL factory. I mean, he did some great things in Michigan State to get the job at LSU. And then when LSU comes in, he does win a national championship with them, but there was never the inclination that he was building a dynasty at LSU before he left to go to Miami. And then when he came to Alabama, it was, this is the best hire they could have made. Absolutely it was. But it wasn't he's going to be the next Bear Bryant. It wasn't that. And from what he's been able to do and build that, I think the resources of Alabama and how serious they take the sport of football was the perfect pairing for a coach that, eats it every day. And what he's been able to do is nothing short of fascinating. We haven't seen it in the modern age of college football. As you mentioned, Florida was close over a decade ago, but was only able to sustain it for about 5 years or so, and then Saban and his dynasty takes over. He's able to shed the age. He just signed a new contract last week, in a contract extension last week. He's able to shed the whole age moniker that he may not be there forever, or he may not be there for your whole career as you come as a recruit. So to be able to in today's college football be able to sustain what he's able to do it's fascinating to watch. I know a lot of people are tired of it because it's the same team for over a decade now. But you got to beat the best to be the best.
Tell everybody how they can get Gators Breakdown.
Get Gators Breakdown at news4jax.com / Gators Breakdown or your favorite podcast platform, YouTube version out there as well, Bill. And we'll be diving into the preseason magazines on tonight's episode. So a lot to look forward to there.
Good stuff, Dave. Appreciate it, man. See you next week.
See you, bro.
Yo, Mr. Gator Dave. He checks in every Tuesday with us. A little later now, about 20 minutes in, hour number three, Griff will check with us. Yeah, it makes it even more impressive what Nick's able to do. Think about it. When you get recruited to Alabama, you have been told by everybody how good you are. Doesn't matter what football field you're on. Whether it's the opponent, whether it's your own head coach, whether it's the camps you go to, everybody is hugging you, attaboying you. So you know you're good. You're not used to being out there and some dude is better than you. You get to Alabama and there's a whole lot of guys that are going on to the league. But somehow he is able to keep that regulated. We all act like that's easy to do. Yeah, just put them on the locker room, Bill, and they'll just play and they'll win, and it's easy. It is not easy at all. There is a whole new set of problems when you start bringing in Johnny Five-Star left and right that you got to deal with. Now, I guess the payoff is you get them on the field, and if they're as good as they're supposed to be, that's also a reason to be happy. But to keep them checked, to keep them hungry, to understand this is going to be a grind. To date, this has all been really easy for you. But now the grind starts. That is not an easy transformation. What he's able to do is nothing short of remarkable. Oh, and just a little reminder, his first game at Michigan State. Now, he'd been the head coach at Toledo for 1 year, then left for the Browns, right? But in 95, his first game at Michigan State. First game now. People think this is his first game as a head coach. Really wasn't. But first game at Michigan State, he loses to that 95 Nebraska team 50-10. One of the best teams ever. The 95 Nebraska team. Anyways, we'll get the break. There's the music. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. We still see heavy traffic flow now trying to get in from Rutherford County on 24 westbound through the Hickory Hollow area. Briley Parkway on that ramp is Centennial Boulevard. And, they're working that crash. 8,000 block of McCroy Lane. There was some minor injuries involved there. Still gathered up on the scene of that wreck at Donaldson Pike right at the interstate. Here comes that heavy traffic flow now. Continues in on I-40 from Mount Juliet. Gatlinburg Wine Cellar is home of the world-famous cod candy wine. Check them out at GatlinburgWineCellar.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Welcome back to the Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, tail-wagging, backyard-hanging, and of course, companionship.
And what breed would you say Satchmo is?
I'd have to go with maybe a Labish Terrier Hound Chihuahua-looking kind of mix.
Tremendous dog.
I'd also like to point out Satchmo's coloring, a white, gray, brown, black brindle, simply marvelous.
You know, it's such a treat to watch a dog like this. Now, let's see him in action. Look how he makes eye contact with his person. That's actually known as the treat stare. How intuitive. And now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles. Ah, the happy dance, so common with this group. And finally, the loving face lick. It's great how he just gets in there and, well, licks. Fantastic. But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one. Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
2020 was a challenging year, but things are looking up, including the stock market's performance. But will it last? Hi, I'm Ken Moray, Senior Advisor at Retirement Planners of America. If you are 50 or older, call us today to schedule a free consultation to learn more about our Invest and Protect strategy that is designed to help mitigate the risk of the stock market. Call us today at 800-375-1159 to schedule your free assessment. That's 800-375-1159.
What is it about a classic that appeals to us? Hello, I'm Sammy Stewart, president of F&M Bank. There are a few classics that haven't changed. This truck and these glasses. You know, with proper maintenance and a few upgrades, a classic still works today. We invite you to experience the classic customer service at F&M Bank that has been our hallmark since 1906. Check us out at myfmbank.com.
F&M Bank, your money.
Smart choice.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on The Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and Kyle Larson did it again, dominating 2021. This time, $1 million and an all-star win. Up next, a brand new track on the NASCAR Cup Series schedule, Nashville Super Speedway. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, race recaps, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hi, this is Kyle Larson, and you're listening to The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
And check us out at youtube.com/thefinalap. We're doing video now every single weekday right here.
Number one college sports show on the planet, The Bill King Show.
This is a very good question posted here by Lake Norman Buckeye. It says, Bill, if we had a 12-team playoff dating back in college football history, is there a team or a year that stands out to you where you're convinced there'd be a different championship outcome? Said, I always heard my dad talk about the 98 Buckeyes would have won it all with a playoff. 98 was Florida State, Tennessee, and that was Fulmer's glory year, 98. They played out there in the Fiesta Bowl, the Arizona State Sun Devil Stadium. Oh, my God. In all its glory. I miss that place. Glendale, I was there a few years later. Yuck. Yucky yuck. But. 90. I don't think, and you never, I mean, you can't prove it. I don't know that anything changes in 98 per se. Biggest problem in 98 is Florida State didn't have Chris Winkie. And they had to go with Marcus Outzen in the game. That was a, again, Philip, give Philip credit. It's hard to win a natty no matter what happened. But Tennessee in 98, first of all, Tennessee had a ton of personnel, lots of talent. So I don't want to slight them there. They were loaded with players. Tons of players going on to play the league. But they also had any number of moments that, not just one or two, I mean, they had several come-to-Jesus moments that could have ruined it and went their way. They had more magic rabbit's feet and miracles occur. The Syracuse game at the end and an interference call. On the road at Syracuse, and Tennessee gets the benefit of an interference call to sustain a drive, kick a field goal at the end. The Arkansas game, where Clint Stoner puts the ball on the ground. And, again, I mean, I go over several of these, but you get all the way to the championship game and Florida State doesn't have the quarterback. Marcus Autzen is not a starting quarterback in a national championship game. Now, again, I don't want to take anything away. Let me say this again for Tennessee. To win it all is hard. It is so hard to do. But it could not have landed more ideally for them that year. I don't know that another team would have been there. I mean, it's possible, but let me see if I can peruse before I get a call mentally with a 12 team. I mean, gosh, that would encompass a whole lot of teams. And got to remember, although college football has been chalky for many, many decades, it wasn't as chalky 20, 30 years ago as it is today. The chalk, the top portion, the top 4 to 5 have separated out more through these years than back then. It was more reasonable back then than it is today. So, yeah, very interesting. Very, very interesting. Anyways, let's do this. Let's get a call. Aliquippa Bob, welcome in, sir.
Hey, Bill. Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, you know, you're talking to Gator Dave about Alabama and their accomplishing all these championships. And I say accomplishing because it's still in the present tense. I mean, this dynasty is still going. You know, Bill, got me to thinking about other dynasties and other sports. And I've been pretty fortunate in my life because I've been able to see the Montreal Canadiens, who I really don't care for that much, under Scotty Bowman. I got to see, of course, Pittsburgh Steelers under Chuck Knoll, which he should have won 5 out of 6 instead of 4 out of 6. You know, had it been for injuries, the 1 year just decimated the club. But, you know, when you look at what Alabama's doing with Nick Saban, you know, I look, Bill, what's the common factor in all three of these teams? And, you know, you have a very strong do-it-my-way or there's-the-door kind of a coach, and they all have their own way of doing it, their own system, and you adapt to their system. They don't adapt to you. But what Alabama's accomplishing, Bill, what do they want, like seven natties under Nick or something like that, something crazy like that? To me, I think that might be – he wins another one or two. I mean, they may be right up there with the old Yankees of the 50s and such, where it's just they are the supreme dynasty of all the dynasties in all the sports, just by the sheer numbers, the sheer volume of championships that he's been able to win. You agree with me?
Yeah. Yeah, he's won 6 there. Of course, his 7th would be – Or part of the 7 would be the LSU 03 championship. But, oh, he's going to win a few more. And he's already the best in his sport to do it, in college football to do it. But, yeah, I think you're pointing out what he probably can and will accomplish might be something that supplants John Wooden or whoever.
I forgot about John Wooden at UCLA. I mean, you know, Bill, the thing that I often wonder is these young coaches coming up through the ranks, do they try to emulate Nick? I mean, having not coached under him, especially in college football or in pro football. For you had the Packers dynasty, and then I think the Steelers overtook that with Knoll, but they were under Lombardi. And I oftentimes, you know, I look at other coaches and I don't see those same qualities and characteristics in there. And I just wonder why they're not trying to emulate something like Nick is doing.
Yeah, I mean, you could try and emulate somebody, but I tell you what, most coaches, when they give you advice, tell you, you got to be yourself. And I don't know if anybody can just stomp around and be Nick, you know, because Nick did it this way. That's hard to do, and you can't duplicate him. You can't be a tough guy just because he's acting like a tough guy, you know?
Well, I'm talking more, Bill, about, you know, like it's his system and you come in and adapt to his system. It's his organization and you have to adapt to his organization. I'm talking more about, yeah, I don't expect the personality to be the same or you mimic the personality. But I know when Chuck Knoll was in Pittsburgh and he was coaching, it was like, don't you dare cross me or you're going to be out on the street and this is the way you're going to do things or else. And you know, you almost see that in all these dominant teams that have dynasties. I mean, Scotty Bowman was the same way with Montreal, and he later coached the Penguins. He mellowed a little, but he basically was, you know, he was a no-nonsense kind of a guy. You're not going to fool around with me. I'm not putting up with any of the shenanigans. And I see that with Nick. You look at these guys, that's their personality. That's their makeup. There's other ways to do that. So I don't know why other teams don't try to build an organization like Alabama has, or why they don't try to say, okay, this is our offense, this is our name. Wisconsin does it. You know, Nebraska used to do it. But you don't see many clubs doing that, saying, this is our identity, we're not changing for you no matter what. So I don't know. So that's all I had, Bill.
All right. Bob, appreciate it, bud. Aliquippa Bob living it down in the beautiful, beautiful sunshine state of Florida. Paragon SC lives in New York City. Big Trojan fan. Bill, don't let the UCLA fanatics hear you say Nick could supplant St. John. There'd be riots in the streets in Westwood. Well, yeah, and John, I've told you this. Later years of his life, I had him on the show once, back in the Sirius XM days. He was very gracious. And I don't even remember the depth of the conversation. I think it was more just me general terms talking to Coach Wooden. But Maybe I'm miscalculating here. I mean, how many UCLA fans out there are there left? Passionate wise. I mean, I don't see a lot of passion around UCLA football. I haven't seen passion around UCLA football in quite some time, actually. Now, I know that we weren't allowed to have in some of these stadiums anybody there, but I saw UCLA a couple times last year, the very few games they actually played. And there were moments where I thought Chip Kelly's maybe on to something here as far as the performance of the team. But and when Wooden did it, he won every championship, and he won more than this. But between 67 and 73, he won every championship. 74 was NC State, and then 75 UCLA, and that was Wooden's last year, 75. I mean, it was the run he went on was incredible. Now, there are a lot of people behind the scenes saying there's more to the story than just the exterior and how they were getting players. And you go from Bill Walton to Luau Cinder and so on and so forth. And dominant players. Let me just – Luau Cinder and Bill Walton would destroy today's talent in the post, in college ball. And they played for UCLA. I mean, they would absolutely annihilate what we've got in college basketball right now. Those two guys. I think what Nick's doing is more impressive. I think there's more competition for Nick to have to fight off than UCLA had back then. And there were other good teams and other good players. I'm not suggesting, but I and what Wooden did was remarkable. I'll tell you one thing Don Wooden told me, and he's passed away, but I've heard him say this other places, so we're not attempting to say Wooden just told me this. But I asked him, I do remember, could somebody today dominate like he did? And we were talking college basketball, though, and he said, absolutely you could. Now, again, I'm not sitting here saying I need to be arguing with John Wooden about how you're supposed to win big in college basketball. I mean, I think I know what I'm talking about, but I don't need to be arguing with John Wooden about that, right? And I wasn't. I just listened. I took copious notes, mental copious notes. I learned through osmosis. But he said absolutely somebody could do that. I disagree if it's possible to disagree with John Wooden. Well, nobody's doing it. Let me put it that way. I mean, you've had Coach K's had a hell of a run. He's retiring after this year. You've had various Villanova here recently win national championships, but we're talking about winning lots and lots of them, and year after year after year. Nobody's doing that. But he said to me, he said, oh, you absolutely could do it again. You could. Black, welcome in, sir.
My brother, how you doing, sir?
We are well. Good to hear from you.
Nice to hear from you too, man. Speaking of Saban, he could have got a lot more money than that. Don't you think so?
Got more money than what now?
Well, whatever he negotiated, I thought he would bend Alabama over the barrel for at least probably $15, $20 million, right?
He just got an extension through February of 29, and he's probably every year making at least 10, I'm guessing.
Yeah, you know, but the thing about it is he's so dominant. Whatever that number is, I think he could have got more. But I say that just to say that these dudes are on. I mean, he's not getting pennies, but you can tell he's still just driven by competition, man, because he didn't take him to the bank. I mean, he could have demanded $14-15 million and gotten it from Alabama, because he needs to be ridiculously more paid than everybody else.
I agree with you, but think about this too, Black, just to buttress this conversation. How many people in this world could make $10 million a year, year after year, and still wake up approaching your 70th birthday as a Savage, having everything you ever wanted, yachts, cars, houses, beaches, and you still wake up as a Savage?
That is what distinguishes the killers from the fakers. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, flat out, because everybody at some point gets lazy, gets tired, gets complacent, and he has it, man. And you got age, you got success, you got money, you have all of these variables that were conspiring to make him lesser of a doggone killer, and it hasn't worked, man. He just is who he is, man. He is exactly who the hell he says he is. Probably a little bit more. Got another question for you. The 12-team playoff. Since the inception of the college playoffs, name one season that would have turned out different with 12 teams. Where that five through twelve would have influenced the outcome any?
I can't think of one off the top.
I got one for you real quick because I hear the music. I think TCU may have, but they
yeah, that's
the
good. Buckeyes. What was that? 15?
They may have been that one year. 14.
14,
15.
Right.
Yep, be good, Playboy. I'll call you back.
All right. Black is back, y'all. Very unassuming there. Black is back. All right, we'll take the break. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Heavy traffic right on schedule, actually 24 westbound. Up through the Hickory Hollow area, all that traffic flow coming in from Rutherford County. Checking your Reg 40 eastbound near 65 there in the Midtown area. Church Street at 10th just reported. Briley Parkway at ramp at Centennial Boulevard. That wreck is in its clearing stages. Ripley's Aquarium, Sleep of the Sharks Family Edition is perfect for the kids and the grandkids. Check it out at Ripley's Aquarium of the Smokies.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
George Plaster and Watson Brown to talk with you about a friend of ours, Jody Jones Dentistry. And Watson, we've both visited this beautiful new studio he has in the Music Row area. Man, it is spectacular.
It sure is. And I've known Jody George since he was a kid. His mom and dad, Doug and Lucy, are as good of friends as I have. It was an honor to coach Jody at Vanderbilt. And Jody was one of those tough guys, very smart, highly competitive, unbelievable work ethic. It does not surprise me that he's had a wonderful dentist practice as he does.
22 years worth, and it includes cosmetic dentistry, veneers, crowns, laser bleaching, and they have a hygiene department with microscope technology. If you want an appointment, you simply call them at 615-259-5100 or go on their website, jodyjonesdds.com.
Radnor Wine and Spirits has been serving the greater South Nashville area since 1976. Locally owned and operated, we're here to help you celebrate anniversaries, birthdays, or anything you have to celebrate. We have a large selection of wine, spirits, and high-gravity beers that can fulfill any want you have. Visit us at 2635 8th Avenue South in Nashville or give us a follow on Instagram at RadnorLiquor615. Log on to the new website, RadnorWineAndSpirits.com. That's Radnor Wine and Spirits in Nashville.
Whether you're a startup business or an established brand, Stripe Design and Print want to help you ensure you establish the best brand for your business. From new projects to updating existing files, Stripe Design and Print has the expertise to turn your project into a reality. With banners, apparel, business cards, and more, Stripe Design and Print has you covered. Log on for a free consultation at StripeDesignPrint.com. That's StripeDesignPrint.com.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this morning. Sunshine, highs today around 85. For tonight, mostly clear, 62. Sunshine for Wednesday, highs near 85. Wednesday night, clear, 61. Sunshine for Thursday, highs near 87. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network here on Nashville Sports Radio WNSR, my name is Rocky.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Call 615-844-5600. Get in on the Bill King Show.
I want to reiterate that Nick Saban conversation. Think about all the levels of success that he's had, which could inhibit his drive every day. Winning so many national championships, it's ridiculous. Making crazy money. Any toy you want, you can have. Anything. Beaches, boats, planes, lake houses, anything you want. If you want to get up every day and plan your first nap after you wake up, he could do it. I got nice 8 hours of sleep last night. I'm going to nap at about 10 a.m. right here in this hammock right here. Look at the beach. And this guy is approaching 70, and he is as much as a savage as he was when he was 25, or 30, or 40. Age can slow you down. Success can slow you down. Toys can slow you down. All the things you can afford to buy. All of that. None of it prohibits him from waking up every day as the savage. Exclamation point. Being a savage drives him more than all the toys, all the possessions, all the money. That is so rare. That's a one in a billion guy. Or more. One in a 7 billion guy. That is very rare. all the things that should take all the savage out of your DNA does not do that and affect him at all. Every day. It's again, we could sit here and just repeat it, but it's still amazing. Really is. Aliquippa Bomb says, Bill, look at what Nick's doing. Forgot to mention he's doing it in a game that's changing. John Wooden, the game wasn't really changing all that much. Good point. Yeah, good point. Nick's had to change the way he goes about winning ball games. Instead of winning by playing good offense, but defensively just suffocating the other team, can't do that anymore. He's not fighting it. He's still really good on defense. They're just not as dominant. Can't be. Not in this environment. Here's what we'll do. We'll score 50, give up 24, maybe. Only would like to give up 10 or so, but that's not the way the game is now. Changes to it. All, you know what? All these changes coming in college football, expansion, name, image, likeness, a freebie transfer, all help Nick Saban even more. You are taking the biggest savage we've ever had in college football and giving him more weaponry to be more dominant. That's what you're doing. Yeah, some other teams are going to get in that heretofore would not have gotten in. That is true. Cincinnati, Coastal Carolina, 2020 would have gotten in. Some teams that would never, ever get in will get in. There's not a chance they're going to win it. Okay? There's not a chance. All of this stuff actually fuels Nick to be an even bigger savage. His savagery, making up words here, I guess, gets bigger, gets more dominant, if anything. Lake Norman Buckeye, the question was earlier from him. If you had this 12-team playoff bracket in place years prior, any surprises? And I really don't know of. Jeff 2 points out 07. Yeah, 07 was a wacky year. That's one of those rare needle in a haystack years where, yeah, there are several teams that might have won that thing. LSU was the last team standing. They will forever be the national champion that year. But if the brackets were expansive back then, again, we were in the BCS era, but if we had a big 12-team bracket, what would have happened? God knows what could have happened that year in 07. Yeah, goodness knows. Jim down at Jupiter, Bill. Are Vol fans trying to be like Philadelphia Eagle fans? They booed Paul Maneri when the PA announcer was giving him a nice goodbye. That's pretty low, Bill. Yeah, I didn't like that either. We can look at this on two levels. Tennessee fans have been thirsty for anything good, and they're getting some good out of the baseball program. And I would dare say they may travel better than anybody else. Texas, coming from Austin, but may travel better than anybody else to Omaha because they're so hungry. Now, the booing of Maneri was not classy at all. I can't defend that. That's not the time and place to be booing a coach who is obviously defeated and stepping aside. And he had a heck of a career. Notre Dame, LSU, he had a heck of a career. There's not a bigger pressure cooker in baseball than LSU. LSU is the college baseball mecca. It's a tough gig. It's a big winning gig, but it comes with a whole lot. Anyways, we'll get a call when we come back on this Tuesday edition. Omni Nashville Hotel. We'll be right back.
Good morning. Heavy traffic right on schedule, actually. 24 westbound up through the Hickory Hollow area. All that traffic flow coming in from Rutherford County. Checking your Reg 40 eastbound near 65 there in the Midtown area. Church Street at 10th just reported. Briley Parkway at ramp at Centennial Boulevard. That wreck is in its clearing stages. Ripley's Aquarium, Sleep of the Sharks Family Edition, is perfect for the kids and the grandkids. Check it out at Ripley's Aquarium of the Smokies.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
My buddy James Warren from Sir Speedy of Music City is with us. I was looking for a way a while back to get targeted messages to people who might be interested in listening to our daily show, and so I asked James for a little help. You take it from there.
So what we were able to do is come up with 7,000 names of people in Nashville and their addresses by zip code that are interested in spectator sports, football, baseball, that sort of thing. It was a pretty reasonable price too, wasn't it, George?
Yes, it was. I got the BGA discount.
Yeah, so in other words, twice the normal. This is something that we do for all sorts of folks. We can sort it by zip code, by type of people, age, whatever, to make it get to the people that you want to get to. If you've got a new business, no better way to do it.
Sir Speedy of Music City, phone number 832-9511, or go to SirSpeedyMusicCity.com. Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-444-4676 or look them up on the web at lynchtreeservice.com.
Hello, this is Greg Pogue. The first time I met Tim Leeper, owner of Tim Leeper Roofing, I didn't know I needed a roof on my home, but I recalled meeting Tim as a huge supporter of Hope Hines' annual charity golf tournament, and upon further research at timleeperroofing.com, that his long-based Mid-State company was a former recipient of Roofing Contractor of the Year in Tennessee. Now in these trying times, we all should seek a comfort level personally and professionally. So if you have roofing issues, either residential or commercial, I recommend Tim Leeper Roofing. Please give them a visit at Tim Leeper Roofing.
The George Blaster Show.
It's great. You finally landed in a place where you're going to thrive with the greatest people on sports radio, pretty much.
Weekdays starting at 2.
It's sports talk the way it should be.
The George Blaster Show.
Man, it's great to have you back, my friend.
The George Blaster Show.
This isn't going to be that much better now with George on afternoons, man. I can't wait, man.
George Blaster. Weekdays starting at 2 on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio. He knows more about the oblong spheroid than any man in America. It's Bill King.
Alan in Tampa. Welcome in, sir.
Good morning, buddy. How you doing?
We are doing well. How about you?
It's raining like a cow pissed on a flat rock.
I hear you, man.
One thing is...
I got you. Go ahead.
And one thing about down here, if you don't like the weather, wait a few minutes and it'll change.
Yeah, I've certainly never lived there, but I've been down there a bunch, and yeah, you're going to get your afternoon showers, your sunshine, all of that.
Yeah, we get it all, man, but how about that Saban deal? You know, look, that dude deserves whatever he gets, you know. He controls everything there. I mean, you know, some coaches have the this, that, the other thing. He controls it all. I mean, he's like that's his kingdom, he's the king of them, you know.
That's true. I mean, he could command whatever he wants, and I'm sure he gets. All we ever see is what they publish as his salary, but it could be substantially more than that, with all things considered.
Yeah, my brother told me a while back that he's got that lake house that the Boosters got together and paid for it for him is a gift. You know, say thank you so much for everything you do. Here's a free house.
Oh, and I think it's a seven figure, maybe close to eight figure, house too, Lake Place. I mean, it's very nice. I think he's got two of them, actually.
Yeah, they also, you know, does he own the two Mercedes dealerships, one in Birmingham and one in Nashville?
Yes.
So I think he's gonna be okay down the road. But you're right. Look, I'm 61. And I don't have 1% of the money that guy's got, but I'm okay, and I don't work as much as I used to, because I don't want to. But you're right about that. His age, he still has the drive of a 20-year-old trying to prove himself.
He literally has the grind ability of somebody just getting started who's not made any money yet.
He sounds like he's coaching, you know, for his house payment every day.
Here's a good example. And Bobby was what? How old was Bobby Bowden when they ended up running him out of town that last year? Was he 85 or what?
Yeah, he was his late 70s, 80s, early 80s, I think.
And the problem with Bobby was he still had the desire to continue. He just didn't have the physical ability to do it.
Yeah, that's what it was. I mean, he just couldn't do it anymore. Sam was in good health. So there's no reason. And look, as long as you're winning... That was the fish humper's problem in Gainesville, McElwain. He came in there with that Saban attitude, which is fine, as long as you win the football game. If you don't win football games, that stuff isn't going to fly.
Right. No, I hear
now,
you.
My nephew worked at the country club in Tuscaloosa. He went to the University of Alabama. And Saban was coming there on Sundays. And the rule was you can't look at him, you can't talk to him, which I think is ridiculous. But... you know, they had the rule, and everybody followed it, and you had to go find another job.
Oh, I think if you're working in the building with him, I think there are quite a few rules, and rule number one is do not bother him at all, whatever that means. Whether it means simply saying hello to him, I don't think you should do it. Well, I don't think you're allowed to do that.
Yeah, Bobby's just the opposite. We went to an event where he was there. That's after he retired. After he got fired. And he was there, and we went up to talk to him. And I was getting a hat signed for my buddy. And he goes, you want to take a picture? And I said, no, coach. I said, he told us that a picture or autograph is all we can have. Oh, come on. Told my wife, come on, honey. Sit over here. Let's take a picture. Don't worry about what they say. You know, that's the kind of guy he was.
Right. Oh, I know. Yeah, everybody's kind of got their angle there, but Nick's formula, as long as he's a savage, nobody's messing with him.
Any school in the country would be happy to have him, I'll put it that way.
Oh. Allen, be safe down there, sir.
All right, thanks, buddy. Have a good day, Bill.
Who was it? I was just trying to think. It's a while back. Somebody... that was at LSU. And it's not Chris Land. Chris knows Nick well. But it would be somebody on another staff or something. But they said that when they would get on the elevator down at LSU, and it's not that Nick was trying to be rude, but Nick is so focused, he didn't speak to anybody. Admire him, but Nick's not looking for buddies and all that. And again, it works for him. It absolutely works for him. Anyways, top of the hour. Griff about 20 minutes into hour number three. Every Tuesday he joins us. That would be Mike Griffith from the AJC's Dog Nation. June's been a busy month for everybody, George included. And... Georgia's had some decommits. Now, again, Georgia recruits quite well. So this is not a knock on them at all. They bring in incredible, incredible talent. But we'll talk to Griff about what's happening down. He was just in Cali. Flew out there, what, a week ago to interview Coach Helton. It was a Zoom call, but he went out there to talk about Mr. Daniels, who isn't even part of the program for the Trojans anymore. Yeah, Grant, some of his best work is when he travels and does those interviews. Those are always pretty good. All right, we'll flip it to hour number three here on this Tuesday edition, Omni Nashville Hotel.